Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello, I'm Harriet Minter, and this is the Badass Women's Hour, and it's our final show. 400 shows. 400. Do you have any idea how much hard work that is? Well, yeah, you do, because you've listened to them, and we are so, so grateful. Thank you, dear listener, for hanging out with us for 400 shows. That's not quite 400 hours. Let's say maybe 350 hours of your life. I don't know how much that is in days and weeks, but there's probably been something more productive you could have done with it. But I am thrilled that you wanted to spend it with us here at Badass Women's Hour instead. I hope that you have learnt a lot, that you've been inspired by some truly amazing women, and that it's made you a little bit more badass along the way. Now, the show wouldn't have existed without two incredible women, and it wouldn't be our final show if we didn't bring those women back so we could celebrate them and Badass Women's Hour in its entirety. I'm so excited that on today's show we have the original Badass Women. It's Natalie Campbell and Emma Sexton.
Hello, ladies!
Woo!
Don't you need to say it's three women, 1 hour, and a whole load of badass.
Badass.
That was how it was back in the day. Back in the day when it was a one-hour show, which we recorded on a Friday morning in that teeny tiny studio in Waterloo.
Yeah.
Being like, what are we doing? We have no idea. And here we are 5 years later. Mm. I mean, let's ask this question first. When we started it, can either of you remember what we really wanted to achieve? Nat?
Yeah, we just wanted to have a chat and have conversations that we weren't hearing. And I think we just wanted to have a good time. I wanted free cocktails. That was my thing. I think I pushed for pretty much every year to have cocktails on the show in some way, shape or form. I think that was my personal goal.
Which you achieved multiple times. But that was the goal. That was the goal. Was like, you know, we were always like, where are the women on the radio? Where were the like groups of women? And where were the women having the conversation that we'd had as friends? And like, we just weren't hearing that on mainstream media, were we? You were sort of getting that on podcasts, but you know, you weren't on mainstream media. So I think it was like, yeah, this could be a radio show. We've stolen the format off a very famous radio show. Therefore, it should be a radio show.
I love that we finally admit that we slightly stole the format of a very famous radio show. Do you think then that we achieved that? So have we achieved great chats between ourselves, getting more women on the radio and bringing more women's conversations into the mainstream media space?
So yes, 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 and yes. I hands down would say that when we started, you know, we had that stat, 4% of radio output was women speaking to women. That has significantly increased, whether that's podcasts like The Receipts or Pressed. You know, that three women, specifically three women speaking to each other and having conversations that didn't need to be led by current affairs, that, you know, didn't need to be that combative, well, if there's a guest on, then you have to take an alternative view. You know, we could do a whole show agreeing with each other. We could do a whole show agreeing with our guests because it was our space to just share. And like Em said, have that conversation that we were having over the dinner table.
One of the things that I've really enjoyed seeing in the last
like, say even in the last year or so, is the number of women who were essentially kind of like, I don't want to use this phrase, but I can't think of another one, so I'm going to have to go with it, the side chick on some other show. So they were the kind of the woman that was brought in when there was a woman's issue to talk about, or if they felt like they wanted to do a fun show, they get a girl in, but it was always the guy who was hosting and it was his show and it was his name on it. And now, actually, we saw in the shakeup that we saw happen across the BBC, it hasn't so much at LBC, but has happened on ITV and on Channel 4, is that actually when they're looking for people to host, the people they want to host are women. And I really love that. Emma, do you think that that then has changed what people are talking about just in general conversations?
Definitely. And I think, well, what we wanted was more women, not just talking about women's issues, right? Just women there and hearing different voices. You know, the media influences us so much kind of culturally. And if you're just not seeing different people in different roles, you know, it's not just gender, it's diversity as well. And I just think now I definitely feel like in the past couple of years, it really has step changed. I mean, you know, and I think when we did it, we were really pushing boundaries because people weren't doing it. And all credit to Talk Radio. I don't always agree with some of the stuff that gets broadcast on Talk Radio, but they really did invest in us. They took a pun. They let us have free reign to do our show. And now on a Saturday, they have two Black women fronting a show. They've got Trisha, who's co-hosted with us. They've got Eliza, who now has her own show, who's also, you know, presented on the show. So now I, you know, we've got a station that's creating change. So yeah, it's happening.
This wouldn't obviously be a kind of look back show unless, of course, we talked about favorite moments. Do you have any that kind of, when you think of the show, you instantly think of that moment?
Yeah, I do. It was that author, Tomi Adeyemi, who wrote Children of Blood and Bone. She absolutely blew me away. She was just, she was in the studio. She was mesmerizing to talk to. Her journey as well of being an author, like, you know, she really did just jack everything in and 100%, you know, knuckle down to be an author. I think Children of Blood and Bone is going to become a movie, certainly when we were talking to her. So I'm on the watch out for that. But she blew me away. That is definitely the one. When you sort of sent the questions, that is definitely the one. And then, like, you know, I have a list of others, like Rose McGowan was obviously, you know, an amazing highlight. The Slumflower, Monroe Bergdorf, Trisha, Cindy Gallup, you know, we had some really great people, like incredible conversations.
So one woman who is definitely killing it this year is the amazing Tomi Adeyemi. Hello, Tomi. Welcome to the studio.
In the process of writing, that's 18 months of coming up with worlds and characters. And how as a writer do you do that whilst also going into the real world? Because it's a fantasy that doesn't exist mixed with real life, which has been quite hard over the last 18 months.
Yeah, and that was the thing, because half of the book, because the book is this big epic fantasy, but it's also an allegory for the modern Black experience. And especially in the United States, we're really struggling with police brutality, on top of even just civilian killings of Black people and bombings of Black like spaces and gun violence on top of that. So it's a lot, and it's hard to live. And that's one of the reasons I wrote the book, is because I was feeling very helpless. And so writing a story that was like an escape, because we're in the jungle, we're on giant lions, we have this magic, but an escape that was dealing with real issues was therapeutic.
There's one thought that came to me actually when I sent the girls questions. I was like, this is what we're going to talk about. And I said, what's your favorite moment on the show? And then I phrased it just slightly different. I was like, what's the thing that comes to mind for you when you think of the show? And I realized as I said that, the thing that comes to mind for me wasn't actually a show we did. It was a bit outside. So when we were like first launching the show, we were promoting it, we went and did loads of events, and we had a hilarious event where we were the guests of honor at the launch of Box Park Croydon.
That was a big moment. Yeah. With the billboard of our image, we literally looked like Destiny's Child. That was hilarious. That was a tough crowd too, right?
The three of us sat in the middle of Box Park trying to have a conversation as everyone's eating their fast food around us, like, who are these women and why are they talking at us?
I think we nailed it, actually. I think that was, and Vanessa Senyuk was there as well. Mm-hmm. So we had a bit of a podcast mashup. But that for me, I absolutely agree. And there were other live events that we did. You know, how can we forget the very first W Hotel events that we did, which was a much more intimate gathering. But, you know, we had amazing women on our panels. And the thing that gives me most joy is I now see those women leading other conversations. So Tomi, for me, really, really stand out. But I think about, you know, we gave spaces and platforms to so many women where that was their first time on the radio. And now they are mainstream radio commentators.
I think that's a really beautiful thing that we sort of, we did with intent, right? Because we said we want to have the women that we think are brilliant that maybe people don't know about. But also we did it because we were like, you've come to us with a great story. We really like you. We want to help you out.
Yeah.
And I loved that.
And we gave them the space, right? So yeah. It wasn't a kind of no offense to the Beeb, but it wasn't, you've got 30 seconds to try and get a soundbite out and then you're out of the studio. You had time and space to talk through your story and not have us interject, you know, sometimes much to the producers' hysteria, but just letting people speak.
Yeah.
We got a lot of feedback from people, actually, that the interviews that they had on the show, that we were, you know, we weren't hostile guests, that we really let them share their story. Because I guess we didn't really have an agenda, as, you know, TV shows did. Our agenda really was to, like, create a platform for people to say what they had to say and to be curious and inquisitive and non-judgmental. And I think we got some, you know, really incredible content from people.
Yeah.
Actually, that reminds me, I had a guest on about a year or so ago, Hemsley. I always want to say Hemo because that's her Instagram name. And now I'm like blanking on her actual name, but it'll come to me. But she wrote an amazing book called Somebody to Love, which is all about the story of her husband coming out as transgender and transitioning to become a woman. And she came on Badass Women's Hour, and all Alexandra Hemsley, that's it, all anyone had talked to her about, she'd done all the press that week, and all anyone had talked to her about was, tell me about what it was like to be in a relationship with somebody who was transitioning. And that was it. That was all anyone to talk about. It was just about that debate. And I came on and I was like, you've got half an hour. I want to talk about every aspect of the book and having a baby and what it was like and how you felt. And then this happened on the train and then this one. And she sent me a message afterwards just being like, honestly, I want to say such a huge thank you for letting me talk about, yes, what was going on with my husband at the time, but actually the whole experience.
Yeah.
And I think that's the difference when you want to have a show which maybe, yeah, talks about issues and talks about things that are happening, but also just really loves the women it's interviewing.
Mm-hmm. She joins me now to talk about it. Hi, Alex.
Hello. Then the person that took the test very casually phoned me and said, just calling to check that you used a donor egg when you got pregnant. And I said, no, I definitely didn't. Because as anyone who's ever had IVF knows, yeah, the bit where you get the eggs is the painful, elaborate bit with all the needles and injections and hormones. And that is not something that you accidentally swap for a donor egg. She told me I shared no DNA with the child that I was carrying, which raised almost infinite questions, sort of ethically, scientifically, legally. It could have been a child which was with my ex and someone else, or it could have been two other people entirely's child. Where was our embryo? It was our last embryo that we'd made. Had it been used by someone else, and was that child born and wandering around while we'd been trying all the other embryos? It was just absolutely mind-spinningly confusing about what being a mother is and what parenthood is and what pregnancy even is on some levels.
But I think that was always a source of tension. You know, we went from being a live event to being a podcast to then being a live radio show. Mm-hmm. And I think there was a tension in terms of, you know, what traditional radio is mm-hmm. versus a podcast. And, you know, there was always a tension for us there in terms of what the radio needed. You've got ad breaks, things like that to think about versus what you might want to do on a podcast. So I think we sort of were podcasts on a radio platform in some ways, weren't we? Mm-hmm. So I think that's why our conversations were different. And also, we didn't really have an agenda to be a radio show. We had an agenda to tell stories and to learn from people. And, you know, I think that's what made our show quite unique.
I think that's it's a really good lesson, isn't it? It's not the what you do, it's why you're doing it. Let why you're doing it define what you do. That's a little learning from the show that I'm going to take away. It's going neatly into my next section.
Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What have you learned? What have you learned from this experience, from creating Badass Women's Hour, from the show itself? Nat?
So for me, it's a great skill to being able to speak off the cuff. And after, you know, doing it 1 hour, 3 hours every week, I'm so well versed in doing so many other forms of broadcast. That's a personal learning for me. You know, we used to have a segment called Backdated Badass, and there were women in history that were forgotten, and we do our discoveries and find these amazing women. And one of the women that we found, who went traveling around the world on a sort of an early stage bike with a pistol in her purse, and this was the early 1900s. And, you know, those are not the stories that were told about what women did in the 1900s, but she was like, well, I'm just going to get on my bike, put a gun in my bag. So that segment always fills me with joy. And also our badass principles at the end of each show. So it wasn't just about the conversations and us listening to all of our guests. It was also us sharing our little wisdom tidbits at the end of each episode. And I do think that there is a movement now of people trying to empower and share, you know, positive thoughts with an audience. So I'd like to say that we pioneered a lot of that.
We totally did. Totally pioneered it. Love that. I like the nice pioneering link there between women on a bicycle with a pistol in the pioneer time and us. Very similar.
Yeah,
similar. Emma, what did you learn?
I learned how to get over imposter syndrome, because like this was Natalie's kind of concept. H, you're always doing this kind of stuff. I was just kind of here for the ride because this is fun. And I was like, yeah, why not? And like, you know, obviously, you know, rabid feminist that I am, any opportunity to talk about, you know, gender at the time, I was right on it. But I've got to say, especially when, not so much when we were a podcast, but when we became a radio show, I had raging imposter syndrome. And I felt a little bit ungrateful because there were so many people working behind the scenes that just loved radio, you know, really probably wanted their own show one day. And And I just felt like I hadn't really worked for it. And I really had imposter syndrome. I think I turned up every week to those live shows expecting it to be the last show. And then I think towards the end, I really like tried to stay in a place of like, oh, well, I'm just having some fun. If it's my last show, it's my last show. If they fire me, it's fine. But yeah, it was hard. It was hard to be there. It felt like we got there fairly easily, but I know we didn't. I know we all three of us have worked extremely hard to do what we could do, to have the confidence, to be able to communicate, to have the network of people. But it just felt a bit easy. And I felt like, yeah, I had raging imposter syndrome.
Do you think we ever get over that it's too easy, therefore it can't be right fear? Because I find that I'll like get over it for one thing and then I'll go and do something else. I'll be like, oh, it's back.
I think I'm trying to embrace it, right? I'm trying to see it not as in, not label it imposter syndrome, but just label it out of your comfort zone syndrome, really, because that's all it is, right? And that's the space I want to be in, because you learn so much when you're doing something new. And, you know, like, what better way to become an expert at something than to actually do it? Like, nobody's born an expert in anything. So I'm trying to get over it, because it's boring.
See, I see it slightly differently. And we had this conversation about the ease. It was easy because we spotted a gap.
Yeah.
And we had a moment and we told the people that could make something happen what we wanted unequivocally. And we put in the work every week without being paid. We showed up. We recorded a podcast. We did our best. We were well researched, well rehearsed. And that's what got us to the place where we got a live show. And so it feels easy, but that's just because we were doing something that we loved and putting in the work and pulling everything we needed to happen. We were pulling it in around us. That for me is the lesson in whatever we want to do in this life. Find the people that can say yes, show up even when you're not being paid. Being paid is obviously great, but show up anyway if you love doing it. And then when the opportunity to jump to, you know, the big league, i.e. the 3-hour show, appears, say yes. Because we could have said no, right? 3 hours every Saturday for the foreseeable, no holidays. You know, we were all running our own businesses and going away as much as we wanted to, and putting a stop to all of that without knowing what would come of it takes guts. And we jumped into it wholeheartedly.
Well, yes, we did. Yes. Well done, us.
This is the Badass Women's Hour podcast.
Now, you two amazing women have obviously been away from the show for a little bit, doing your own things. Let's give everybody a little update on what you've been doing and maybe what you've learned in the last year. What have new projects taught you? Emma, you've had a whole rebrand. I'm so excited by you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. What the past year? I feel like the past 12 months has been like a massive lesson in building resilience. So yeah, my decision to quit the show was more that I wanted to just double down on my businesses. My timing was absolutely awful because it was just as the pandemic hit and I was like, really gonna done with the show. And yeah, I think a lot of it's been about getting a business to survive and being really focused on that. And yeah, we completely renamed and rebranded. I mean, I really made peace. I thought that the business was gonna die. And it didn't. So now I'm full throttle, you know, back on it, building that up, set up another business that was a marketing initiative. So I now have some awards for in-house creative teams. So yeah, just very focused on trying to be a badass businesswoman, really, and ride out a pandemic.
Do you think that focus, I mean, I always think you've been quite focused, but do you think you've got more of it this year?
Yeah, I don't think I've been focused at all, actually, to be honest. Quitting the show was one of my steps towards being focused. You know, it was quite a big deal. I loved doing the show. You know, it was fun. But, you know, you come to a point in time where you've only got so much time, you've only got so much energy. And, you know, I'm really learning the value of really knuckling down and focusing on one thing. And it's definitely having a difference. And also, it's just giving me a bit more playtime, you know, like, it's just not quite nice to have a weekend where there's no work, you know, sort of getting to the weekend, working. So yeah, I think it's great to do a variety of things, but I think it comes to a point where you have to go, actually, what am I going to double down on? What is the thing that I feel most motivated by that I'm going to put everything into for the next couple of years and see where that pays off?
Love that. Very good advice. Now, how have things been for you? You got a really big job just after leaving the show.
Well, I got it before the show, which is one of the reasons that I stepped back from the show. So there was the job becoming CEO of Baloo, which, for anyone that doesn't know, is an ethical drinks business. And I didn't know there was a pandemic coming. And so I stepped into that role and literally sales flatlined overnight. So it would have been close to impossible for me to do that executive job and have the radio show and my boards. And I was also moving to Hove at that point because I'd put in an offer on a property. And so it was that total life shift. And you also know a moment when something has come to an end. I didn't have 3 hours of energetic curiosity or interest to give. I had fleeting moments, but I didn't have it in the same way that I did, in year one, two. And I think that's a really useful lesson for people, just because something is amazing and it's a privilege to do. And I do believe that the show is an absolute privilege. If you can't show up as your best version of yourself, then it means it's time to move on and create space for other people. So the last year has been about a reset in my own life. Obviously, with the pandemic, we've been locked in for a while, but I now live by the sea. I'm dating. So for anyone who's been following the journey over this show, I have not dated. I would see the Badass Woman's Hour season. I'm dating. I live in Hove. You know, I'm running an amazing business. I'm doing less. I'm doing so much less than I was when we started and even when we finished. And it's just really nice to be able to take a step back.
I love this idea of doing less. But I actually wrote in my newsletter today about how I've become almost like afraid of doing less. So I said to myself earlier, because I can only take 3 weeks off in August. And I actually said to my boyfriend, I'm going to take 3 weeks off. And so what I'm going to do is, like, for the first week, I'm just going to like read, you know, just go to some galleries, like chill out. And then I'm going to come up with a book proposal and I think I might pitch a documentary. And he was like, that's not time off.
No.
How have you got into that? Because you are a woman who is always doing 1,050 things. So I'm sure doing less is still a good 572. But how did you get into the zone of doing less?
No, Emma will tell you. I just decided one day I'm just doing less. And I really am doing less. I've gone from doing, let's say, 10, 11 executive, non-executive things to 4. Or 5, which means I have my evenings to myself, I have my weekends to myself, I can go on holiday and actually be on holiday, and I don't feel the need to develop anything new, I don't feel the need to launch anything, I'm not chasing anything, I don't feel the need to be in a room. I'm not someone that has FOMO from a going out perspective, because I'm an introvert, but I don't feel the need to be at every sort of business awards event or a network. I just don't care. And that's partly pandemic, but it's also just being a stage in my life where I have earned the right to just be really good, great, amazing at a couple of things, as opposed to trying to do it all.
Love that. Ladies, let's finish by reviving the Badass Principles. So this is our last show. We've had some beautiful loyal listeners who have been with us for the past 5 years. A piece of wisdom that you would like to leave them with, one thing you would like them to know.
Stay curious. I think it was curiosity that basically, you know, helped us have the best conversations. And I think in the world that we're living in now, you have to stay curious, keep asking questions, keep wanting to find out. So that's my badass principle.
Love it. I forgot the badass principle is always two words.
Yes, is it? Thank you.
Nat.
Emma stole mine. So I'm going to go with live love. And that is because, you know, post-pandemic, I think people really honing in on what it is that they love to do, what it is that they love about life, who they love around them, and spending as much time living that is as important as anything else.
You just say that because you've got a boyfriend now.
I don't have a boyfriend. I have a lovely life by the sea, by the
way. I am going to say we should probably finish with, when in doubt, be a little bit more badass.
Mm.
We all have it within us. And there's something about just sometimes when you've got a bit of imposter syndrome or it feels like it's not quite going to plan, just reach down, pull it up, and remember that all of us are truly badass women. Thank you, ladies.
Thanks, H. It's been lovely.
So this has been the Badass Women's Hour. It's been an absolute privilege to hang out with you all for 400 episodes. Thank you for staying with us. If you love the show and you've liked listening to me and you want to hear more, I would be thrilled if you'd come follow me and talk to me on social media. At Harriet Minter on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Maybe I'll have started a TikTok by the time you listen to this. Who knows? But do come and chat. I'm going to miss you. Join me on my next podcast where I'll try to unravel the knotty problem of work in the future.
The days of everyone having their own desk and everyone being there Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, are long gone. It could be a really positive opportunity for employers to just revisit what they expect from their employees and just how important having an office space is. What I hope doesn't happen is that a lot of these decisions are made purely on cost. So employers see it as an opportunity to cut some costs without pushing any of that saving back onto the employees.
And that's coming in the autumn. That's all from us here at Badass Women's Hour. I have loved doing the show. Thank you for listening.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.